We're ready, Esther.
All right, very good. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It is 9:30 a.m. on Friday. It is Friday, right? February 19th, 2010. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Kevin Kramer, along with my colleagues Tony Clark and Brian Kalk, and a hearing room of several stakeholders and interested parties to discuss the 211 dialing code user, and specifically First Link. It is case number PU09713 in our docket, but I think it's important perhaps to state right up front that while this is a docketed case and while there's a quorum, in fact, all members of the Public Service Commission present, is a properly noticed meeting, that the real purpose of today is less formal than that, that we are gathered as stakeholders and concerned citizens and public officials to search not so much for an order or a conclusion, but rather a solution to the issue of 211 service and its importance statewide. And with that in mind, what I think we'd like to do today is I'll ask for some opening comments from my colleagues, certainly. We will take notice of everyone who is in the room. I think that would be important in this particular meeting. We'll pass a microphone around so that those that are either listening online or watching the webcast know who's in the room, and for recording purposes as well. And then we'll go over just a brief history of what brings us to this point. I think that could be helpful to a lot of folks. And then let's just look for a solution, because that's what we really need to do. What I sense we need to do is what I'd like to accomplish today is find out, first of all, what the need is in terms of providing the funding to perhaps allow First Link to continue the service statewide, to build a financial bridge between today and the next legislative session. It's my understanding that there are advocates in the legislature who would like to at least pursue the possibility and present the opportunity to their colleagues to provide some state funding for 211. It's an important service. So with that, what I'd like to do is ask for some opening comments from my colleagues, and then we'll go around the room with and identify other stakeholders, if that makes sense. We'll start with Commissioner Kalk, who carries the telecommunications portfolio.
Thank you, Kevin. And just thank all of you for taking time to be here today. I have not met anyone that doesn't believe 211 is an important service. It's just a matter of how to find the funding so this service can continue. And that's where today the discussion, if we could, I mean, I think we're all going to agree it's a good service. It's just a matter of how do we get the funds directed to the people that can provide the services. I mean, the history, you know, Kevin kind of laid it out a little bit, but back in 2003, you know, Mental Health Association North Dakota did the service for many years. In 2007, First Link was then subcontracted, if you will, to do Cass County, and that service went along very well. And then back in November, MHAN no longer provided the service statewide. First Link stepped up to the plate and provided that service till now. First Hand wouldn't have stepped up to the plate back then. We wouldn't have the service till March 15th. So thank you to that. I think there was some misconception that earlier, but you've actually stepped up and provided the service to March 15th to give us the time to potentially solve this. And that's really where we're at today. The commission did an order here the last meeting, and we designated First Link as a service provider for Cass County for the rest of, you know, till this changes at some point. So Cass County is covered. It's the rest of the state today that we're trying to broker the relationship. So if we can do that today, I think that would meet the goal.
Thank you. Commissioner Clark.
Thanks, Kevin and Brian. 211 is a very important program, I'm particularly struck by the fact that we're at a time of year and in a year when we all expect flooding to be an issue in North Dakota this spring. And so, you know, maybe it's partly with my own experience having lived through the 97 flood in Fargo and knowing how important having access to information is, that 211 can be a very important part of that flood fight. Now, I'm grateful that 211 will be continuing in Cass County, but of course this is going to be a statewide effort. And so if there's some way that we can find a bridge to get us through to the next legislative session, I think that's the goal that everyone has. These types of numbers like 811 and 511, 211, 911, they all serve an important niche. But the one thing that's common across them is they're not money makers. Okay? I mean, they're they're numbers that have a very difficult business case to be made for them. So in the case of any of them that have been successful, they've all had some sort of government money involved with them because they have to. And that's true of 811, which is Call Before You Dig. It's certainly true of 911. It's true of 511, which is weather information. And if it's going to be a sustainable model, it's going to have to be true of 211 too. But we have this issue of legislature being out of session and trying to look for some kind of solution to get us through to that next session. And I think that there probably will be an appetite within the legislature to get a solution for this when we meet that. But we know it's a challenge, but I think we've got the right folks around the table to hopefully talk about how we can work a plan to get there. So thanks for being here. I really do appreciate it.
It is great. It is an irrevocable gift that you're here, and we appreciate that very much. I might just state right up front that specifically what 211 is, for those who may not know, is that the Federal Communications Commission designates 211 dialing code to provide direct access to organizations that provide community information and referral services that are not currently available through 911 or through 311, which are some of the more common emergency numbers, and so we know it's widely used. With that, I'd like to go around the table first and have folks identify themselves, and then we will hand a microphone around the room, and those that want to identify themselves, no one certainly is required to, but those who would want to and where we think it might be helpful, please identify yourself, and let's start with you, Carol.
Okay, I'm Carol Wilson, the Executive Director of the Department of Human Services.
I'm Greg Wills with the Department of Emergency Services, and I'm the Director of Homeland Security.
Rob Keller, Director of the Service Member and Family Support Division of the North Dakota Guard.
Stacy Logring with First Link, the Director of Information and Crisis Services.
And Cindy Miller, Executive Director at First Link.
And let's pass the microphone over to Daryl.
Daryl Nitschke with the Public Service Commission.
Jenna Gullo, the Director of MSA United Way.
Judy Green, President of United Way of Casclay out of Fargo.
Scott Sheldon, Public Service Commission.
Terry Dwelly, State Health Officer.
Cindy Sheldon, I'm with the North Dakota Department of Insurance. I'm the Director of the Health Insurance Program.
Astrid Singer, Aging Services Division.
Linda Wirtz, AARP.
I'm RV Smith, Deputy State Health Officer.
I'm Tom Trenbeth, Chief Deputy Attorney General.
Patrick Vaughn with the Public Service Commission.
Jay Crawford, I'm the Disaster Preparedness Administrator for the Department of Human Services.
Sarah Werner, North Dakota League of Cities.
Very good. Everyone else is with the media, probably. Very good. Thank you, everybody. And so that for additional information, so folks know that. Patrick Vaughn is our utility analyst who generally deals with telecommunications issues and has done a wonderful job of keeping us all informed and up to date and coordinated and all of those things. I noticed that none of our attorneys are in the room, Mr. Chief, Attorney General. That's very liberating for us oftentimes, but Pat will... he'll keep us on the straight and narrow, because this, I must admit, this is a bit outside the Public Service Commission's normal jurisdiction, but we are glad to help facilitate this meeting. Dr. Dwelly, I might, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind coming up to the table? I just think you're an invaluable resource that we want to have close to us, and I'm not saying that just to get you up here. I think it's true. I think we need that. So with that, perhaps what we could do is ask First Link to maybe just, if you could make an opening comment or comment anything you've heard to this point. And then what I would really love, I think the first question I'd love to get an answer to is, how much would it take to get us to the next legislative session? To go right to the point.
Alan, thank you for stepping out here and being, you know, having this meeting for us, because I know this is out of your realm a little bit, having this meeting, but we do appreciate it. We had a board meeting yesterday, and our board strongly believes in 211. And wants to continue service, but like you said, the lack of long-term stable funding has been an issue for us. So at the moment we have, United Way of Casclay is a big, big supporter of ours, and we have Cass County covered with expenses for the next year. But we have that infrastructure set up, but still if we're taking on the state, they shouldn't always be paying all of that piece too. So
certainly,
my concern is And I don't know what the level at the moment. Stacy and I were talking. We're up about 1,200 calls a month since October 22nd when we've been taking over MHAND.
Mm-hmm.
MHAND's 211 service across the state. So that's been currently the numbers. We feel that once the service gets to a higher level and advertised more, I think that the call number is even going to be increased more.
Mm-hmm.
The database does need some help. It's not updated, so we need help from all the social service mm-hmm. agencies and other groups. We're only as good as the information we have. So our information across the state is not current, does need some help. And so we would really need that. We're going to need an extra database person. We're going to need more people, two more lines in order to keep up. We're having some calls right now that we're having trouble getting to. We have a queue, and calls are waiting, but there are times when we don't have enough people to take all the extra calls now. So as far as expense, our board, you know, we went through real quick, and we got over 100,000 fast. And that's just things that we know of real quickly that we're going to need to add. Our 800 number, Susan gave me some estimates. 1,800 a month is what it was in November and December, and then it was 700 in January. We had all the SHIC forms. Cindy, you know that. There was a lot of calls during that time, so our call volume was considerably up. So we're not sure what all the costs will entail. In the same way, I feel like the infrastructure, some of the pieces, it's set up right now, so the cost is, you know, less to probably continue with the service at the moment. But, you know, to be fair to Cass County, too, they shouldn't be taking on the entire infrastructure for the rest of the state.
No, if I could, is there a way that you can easily, those additional 1,200 calls, you can kind of get a feel for where they're from? I mean, are they all from, you know, the Bismarcks, the Minots, or are they just everywhere?
It was across the state. And I noticed, with especially with SHIC forms, we had a lot of small communities. You know, they don't have those big meetings for all their insurance. You know, their pharmacies aren't having meetings. They don't have a senior center where they can go and get help with their plan to see what they need to do. So a lot of small communities, maybe mm-hmm. Stacy, I don't know if you noticed any more than what I did, but it was a variety of calls from across the place.
And that wouldn't surprise me, I guess, when you think about it, the lack of sort of resources in central or even human service centers that are in the regional hubs would make it probably a greater need even in rural areas. If we could, Greg, I know you have another very important meeting to get to. If you have some thoughts right up front that would be helpful or that you'd want to share, we certainly want to give you that opportunity before you have to leave.
Thank you, and I do need to leave in about 7 to 10 minutes here. A couple of things.
Let's slide that microphone over a little bit. Just
a couple of things. 211 in our business is pretty important. It's been a model across many other states, and specifically over the last couple of years, we have been putting together a program that's tied to a vulnerable populations registry.
Sure.
And that is to facilitate immediate response in disasters or emergencies. And we're coming very close to finishing the program. Right now we are continuing to develop an interface through ITD that will interface through a piece of software which one of our partner agencies, Department of Health, has, which is a notification software. And we had hoped, because it has been successful in other states, to utilize 211 as the call center for that vulnerable populations registry. They would call into 211, be able to register, identify what their special needs are. So if we had to evacuate a location, there's never enough time to go door to door in some of these situations. At least we know where the folks are that we really need to help, and most everybody else would then be capable of vacating on their own. We're real close. We had hoped to have this program unveiled a year ago, but with some interface problems and software difficulties, it just never materialized. The department has had some federal grant money. Originally, when it was with the Mental Health Association, we kind of figured that over a two-year period of time, about $70,000 could be contributed to them to get the thing at least in a test period for 2 years. And then if it's successful, if it's being used out there, and we thought at that point in time that we would try to secure additional funding through the legislative process to continue that on. But we still have maintained a grant amount at the agency to provide to a vendor that would support the vulnerable populations registry. And 211 in many other states is doing that and doing it very successfully. We thought the model would work well here in mm-hmm. North Dakota. There's another little piece to this that's important to my world or our world in emergency services, and that is if 211 doesn't exist, that means there's more 911 calls.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And we're not equipped at the 911 centers to deal with the things that 211 does. They are the experts in what they do. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, you put at jeopardy a immediate response in our world, in the emergency response piece, the EMS, the law enforcement, the fire, mm-hmm. when our centers are backlogged, if you would call it that, with 211 calls as well. Because people will reach out to call. They will do that when they need help. We want them to do that when they need help. Unfortunately, in 911 centers, you know, our business is geared towards fire, law, EMS, and those kinds of things.
Sure.
So I would encourage any agency that can come to the table and help support this to do so quickly. Unfortunately, as I say that, I know that until I get the interface built and the program up and running, which is going to take a couple of months yet, I can't throw any money at it, but I would certainly look to do that in the future when this becomes available.
Do you have a sense for, you said a few months, and is it, are we talking yet this biennium, or?
Oh, yes, I do believe so. I think that we're probably talking between now and June for sure to have it up and running.
Okay.
So does that mean if we can get this to June, that maybe you can then make commitments to come in June? Or are you not prepared to do that?
Yes, what I'm saying is I have fully prepared the agency to come in as soon as it's ready. And I've gone so far as to work with OMB to try to sole source this particular contract, and
sure.
we did get some approvals to do certain things to streamline that contracting process. So, yes, as soon as we are able to, we've worked with a lot of stakeholder groups across the state, and they're excited about the program, and I'm quite frankly somewhat, you know, not embarrassed, but I'm sad that we have not been able to get it over the hump yet, and it's been because of connectivity issues between state, non-state, and this is sensitive information, and we've got to be able to protect it as well. People don't want their information out there, and so we've had a lot of hurdles to jump over to make this work, and I think we're getting very close.
You touched on something really important, and I wasn't familiar with the vulnerable population database that you're building, but when we think of 211, I especially tend to think about mental health services and sort of vulnerable population. Now, that's not everything that 211 does. 211 has a lot of sort of community, basic community information, resources, and whatnot. But, Carol, really, the vulnerable population is probably priority in terms of what we have to be looking out for. And I look to you because I know that that's your world
well. No, that's correct. In regard to the vulnerable population, in regard when there is an emergency such as the flood like we had last year, that responsibility does fall to the Department of Human Services. That is the population that we do move out of, if it's an apartment or if it's in any kind of a group home or any kind of a setting whatsoever. It is the staff, basically, at the Human Service Centers or, you know, in other cases we've used facilities that house the population. We use their staff. Everybody pulls together in these situations, and so we really maximized our efforts in the 2009 flooding. The connectivity that social services, human services has to the 211 line is very close, of course. You're definitely the feeder. The 211 line is the feeder system into our human service centers. All of our human service centers have crisis lines, and all 8 of our centers are hooked up with crisis lines that have message centers that provide immediate crisis help to those who are either in suicide, have suicide prevention or a crisis in that regard, or alcohol or substance abuse. And so we have that available at each one of our human service centers. State Hospital in Jamestown also falls into that category. So we have that connectivity, definitely, the need to have that feeder of the 211 line. Not to say, though, that there are other – that's why we're here today.
Yeah.
Because I'm a firm believer that with everybody in North Dakota and every state agency – in state government in North Dakota has a part in this game. I don't believe that there is any state agency that doesn't have some kind of a responsibility here to keep this 211 line afloat, at least until the 2011 legislative session has a chance to make a decision as a whole on whether they want to keep this or not. Because when you look at the calls that have come into 211, not only are they mental health and addiction issues or health and medical, they're public health issues. There are basic human needs from daycare to education to employment to just basic information referral to criminal justice and legal to children, youth, planning. They're even calling on employment issues, on environmental, gardening. I mean, it's across the board, home improvement. How do I get a home loan? I mean, these calls that are coming in are basic human needs calls. It doesn't necessarily have to be a crisis. But what the 211 line does in a crisis situation was evident during the flood of 2009. I don't think anybody can make an argument as how important First Link and the 211 line was in the flood in 2009. I mean, how many calls, almost 800 or thousands? I don't know how many you ferreted.
So, Carol, if I could, though, it sounds like you'd be willing to testify when the time comes, but is there any way that your agency can do anything to transition funding to them prior to the next legislative session? I mean, to get right to it.
Looking for the money. I know it's
because I think we've established that this is good, but we need to figure out a way to get them what they need to make this work.
I have established that it's good, but I've also established that that everybody has part in this game. Yeah. It doesn't all fall on one agency.
Agreed.
Okay. I mean, I just wanted to also say that the Department of Human Services does not receive any federal money for either from Homeland Security or from HHS, Health and Human Services, for any grant money. We don't receive any federal funds down those lines, so we'd be looking at general funds. Mm-hmm. We have one contract with First Link, and we hope to continue that contract. We have very minimal money that would be available to put into the effort. We will look. I was going to have Brenda Wise come with me this morning. She's our chief financial officer. We could probably find something. I don't know how much we could find. But, you know, I feel strongly enough about this to find some dollars, hopefully, in our general fund. I don't know what they would be right now. My point is this. This does not fall entirely on one agency.
Right. You're right.
I mean, I can think an agency like ours, I'm sure 211 has taken calls on utility disconnects, access to Lifeline Link Up, which is the telecom program, LIHEAP, which is the energy assistance program. No, I don't know what the procedures are, but I mean, I'm sure we'd be.
We're going to close the doors and not let anybody leave until we get to 100 grand. No, I don't know what the procedures are.
I'm sure we'd be willing to, you know, come up with some money in our budget. There's usually, you know, you can scrape together a little. Now this is where we should have had the attorneys in the room. I don't know exactly what the, you know, process.
Tom will defend us when we screw up.
or the ability to do that. We're talking about statewide effort to try to fund and, you know,
I have a question for First Link, maybe. I've got a question for First Link, though. Can you take the money so much a month? Or you need to make a long commitment. You probably can't. If you somehow we came up with $10,000 a month to get you to April, May, June, would that work? Or do you have to know that you need the whole piece because you're going to hire somebody or invest in it? That'd be my guess. But
Yeah, we need to immediately. I mean, if this is going to go ahead, we need to advertise positions. We need a new database person to get that other half of the state. Mm-hmm. So we need to do a lot of things up front and know that there's
stable.
So if there's a startup fund, I mean, is there any way that you'd know what kind of?
I guess we haven't gotten to that point yet. Our board, you know, said that we can certainly come back to them with any proposals or ideas that were here, and they would go forward with it. But there's a lot of things that we need to put up front to be able to get things going. We need to add two more phone lines. We need to add. So there's things that
you're
going to
have a lot of upfront costs that'll taper off over time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a ballpark? Here's what we need to keep it going through, June 30th of next year?
2011.
Yeah, I don't have an exact number for you. We got to 100,000 quick, like just going through fast, adding this and this and this. And it wasn't any time at all. And like I said, we don't know about phone lines. We don't know what call volume is going to do. Are we going to need to add another person over time here? Once it gets advertised more and everything's really current and we've got things really going, my hope and and our hope is that more people are using it all the time and it does increase. So, what it's going to be long term, I have no clue.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing about it is in Cass County right now, our experience is very few long distance charges because sure. A lot of it's in the same calling district. However, when we start adding the rest of the state, I mean, we don't know how to project that at all.
There's a lot of agencies that are using 2-1-1 now, and we're just finding out about them through someone will call and say, well, I saw it on the back of my Powerball ticket, or I saw it on the back of this. And
well, the American Legion for their 2-1-1 services for the vets coming home, I mean, they're using this service. So
I see it on their TV ads. I just saw one last night.
But we need those agencies, right. if they're utilizing it, we'd love to help them. We'd love to do things, but they need to realize that we're the ones who are doing the legwork, and you have to help. We need some help with that. Yeah,
right.
But in the same way.
I think it'd be helpful on our end if within a relatively short amount of time, a week or so, if you could come back with a projection for, here's the goal. So we have at least we have a goal line to try to reach.
Okay. And the other piece I'm asking for help, too, if this does continue, and I hope it does, is all those agencies who are using us to make sure that they meet with us. And so we know exactly what information they want sent out, that we make sure that in our database is everything that they want put out there. So it's really important not to just say, that we're going to be able to, and we're going to find information for people. But, we really need to have those connections made, too.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we go into the next session, who would be the lead sponsor on something to try to get the funding? Would that be your office, Carol, or would that be somewhere else? If we take that to the next step, we get to the session. Going into the session, somebody's going to take the lead that we will all follow through on, I would assume. Maybe that's something to throw out there for just thought today.
Yeah, that'll be something to certainly think about
it's
going forward.
After the bridge.
Yeah.
I think ideally for those of us who have a concern for it and a passion for getting this set up in a more stable basis, you try to get it in the executive budget.
Yes.
There we go.
But beyond they're champions in the legislature, too, who
I'm sure are
willing to take it on their own. But just politically, we all know the reality that once it's in the executive budget, it's an easier pull.
Dr. Dwelly, I asked you to come up here so that you wouldn't get by with saying nothing.
Sure.
So,
And these kind of services are so incredibly important across the state. But there are a couple of other processes that are taking place that might link here. And one of them we've been working towards, I think, for the past several years. Call and nurse systems are kind of something similar to 2-1-1, answer some different questions. We know it's probably part of the answer to rural health care delivery as we transition into health care reform. We know that effective call and nurse systems will decrease inappropriate use of hospitals and emergency department visits by 70%. They set the venue. Also, if you have an effective call and nurse system in place, it sets the venue for chronic disease management follow-up, which is so important to improve quality of life and decrease healthcare costs for individuals that have diabetes and asthma and various other things. So, there is only one call and nurse system that we have in the state of North Dakota. It happens to be around the Fargo area as well. We have contracted with them during emergencies to provide services. When the water system went down in the Standing Rock area, we were able to contract with them to answer some questions for dialysis patients. But that was a short-term fix. So we have been working towards some kind of a statewide system in call and nurse. And in fact, we're very close to releasing an RFP to provide some funding from some of our emergency response funding that came from H1N1 dollars to provide the positions, 10 positions, as well as the software and the connectivity. Using some of the routers that we have developed in the state of North Dakota to private entities which need to sustain this thing. Hmm. We can't provide those sustainable dollars, but we can provide some of the upfront dollars to get this call and nurse system started. We feel that there would be a need for about 10 positions in the state, and we have some interest in various private systems out there in looking at doing that as they look at some new paradigms in health. So the question that we would bring to the table is, what is the linkage between 211 services and call a nurse system kinds of services. We see this as kind of an interesting dialogue, and I'm just not exactly sure what those linkages could be, but I thought that might be of interest to bring to this dialogue.
What are your initial thoughts, Cindy, when you hear something? I think it presents both an opportunity, obviously, and a question. But
yeah, I guess I haven't talked to you before about this, so I've had no prior knowledge about this, but you know, we're interested in hooking up with other agencies and other groups and helping with 24-hour service. You know, we do that with other crisis agencies at night. Would this be a group that helps during the day then?
Oh, absolutely.
Just daytime hours?
No, it would be 24-hour service.
Okay, so basically we would help page out someone after office hours or evenings or weekends, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, this would have to be a 24/7 service.
For
a call and nurse, you know, to provide protocol-driven advice to individuals. You know, I we all see the situation. You know, you have people that are 100 miles from a healthcare facility, and they're saying, you know, I have some chest pain. Do I need to be seen in that emergency department or not? Do I need to make that trip in the blizzard? Those kinds of things obviously are acute care situations, but in emergencies, when you're delivering messages, having that system in place to answer questions about, can I drink the water? Where do I go? Incredibly important to have those systems in place. So we've been moving in that direction for a couple of years, and maybe this would be an opportunity to really look at a very broad system to provide some services for the whole state in expanded ways.
What I sense when I hear you talk, and what I'm thinking is that if we can find some, I call them anchor tenants, or you know, those foundational sort of clients, if you will, that provide, I want to choose my words carefully, you know, but some good stable funding, perhaps we can fill in the rest, you know, going forward. Others, Rob, I mean, any your thoughts as you listen to some of this?
J. Paul Getty said he'd rather have 1% of 100 people than 100% of 1%. We're all here.
Yeah, right.
there's another fact that you're probably not aware of, and that's especially in the world of military and families and how, since, you know, our lives have changed since September 11, 2001. If we were to bring all of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines home and bring them all home and no more wars, the issues that we would have would be with us another 80 years.
Mm.
That's because of the children.
Mm-hmm.
So the North Dakota National Guard has a very robust mental health team. I mean, we're probably one of the few states in the nation with 5 mental health, including a doctor of psychology or psychological health, licensed social workers at the bachelor mental master's level. We, little bit of background, when I first came on a year and a half ago, we had a congressional add-on which we gave, you know, $40,000 to the 211, to the association.
And Mental Health Association?
Well,
I'll tell you what.
I'm not sure how that was all spent, but it was $10,000 a quarter. That was a gift to us from that congressional add-on, but we were not able to continue with that because of our budget. But and we actually went out and provided training in the Bismarck and the Fargo area because of the needs and the services that we have, and especially with our soldiers and our airmen and all military. The geographical dispersion we have, they come home, they're not in a unit anymore. They're back on the farm, they're back in the farthest reaches of North Dakota, and with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, suicidal ideations, the whole spectrum of what you can expect in the mental health issues. And so that's why, I mean, then we did the training. I think we probably could have done a better job of maybe advertising it more as well. I know it's on brochures from various organizations, and I know we've had many of our folks call 211.
Mm-hmm.
But I will let you know that we still want to do our fair share on this next round here. And so that's our commitment. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm bringing to the table today.
And they did an amazing job of training our staff. We just became AIR certified. We're the first ones in the state to get that certification. And they, our military training was one piece that, because you had provided that to us, that they were very impressed with.
So
and they
want
to
describe what AIR certification
Yep, it's Alliance of Information and Referral Systems. And so for 211 centers across the nation, they want everyone to be able to get the same level of care that you're getting on the phone across every place. So it's a high standard, and it was a lot of work that we went through. I'm very proud to have that. And when they saw our military piece that you guys had provided, they were sending that across the nation to show other places because it was very extensive and in a wonderful training.
Mm-hmm. I was aware of that.
Yep, so.
Others in the room, stakeholders, thoughts, observations, pledges. That's good. Past the point. Arvie, you want to hand her the.
Thank you. This last legislative session, for the first time, the Department of Health did receive a $250,000 grant from the legislature specifically for suicide. So to the extent that we can relate this to suicide, there's a possibility there. We have committed a little less than half of that funding so far in mini grants. They go out to most of them to the reservations where a large part of our suicide issues are. And we have not committed the second round yet. It's specifically for suicide, so we may have some ability for some of that to assist, whether we pull it off the top or put it through a grant round, depending on how quickly it's needed.
You know, to what degree does this a supplement to or replace the more traditional suicide help
hotlines? Well,
I was on call just the other day, and on the 211 line, I had a suicide call and ended up having to call up dispatch. So it can happen, even though we have a special line for suicide calls, the reality is those calls can come in anywhere. So it's not really that we keep it separate. Our suicide line in Cass and Clay County last year went up 20% with the economy and with the flood. I think it was a tough time for the people in the state. So we saw that just here in Cass County. I don't know what Susan's numbers are for the rest of the state.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and it's not funny, it's interesting you say that. I was just in Grafton earlier this week for other events and was invited to somebody's home after the event, and I accepted the invitation, and it turns out the person was a medical social worker at the hospital in Grafton, and she talked to me very specifically about 211. She said, I've referred 50 suicide issues to 211 in the last 3 to 4 months. And in fact, and I had her send me an email to that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so all of our staff are trained in suicide intervention. It is a 2-day full training that all staff need to have in order to be answering the phones, because we know that anytime that phone rings, it could be to a life-threatening situation.
So what kind of justification, if you will, would you need to be able to help some of that money move over?
That would work. We were given it for suicide. No other stipulations attached. What we've got to balance is that's less that I can give in many grants to those reservations and other small areas. A tough call, but
to the degree that we can market though 211 to those same areas, perhaps there's there's added value and benefit.
Contacting hospitals, let you know we have a brochure for people who have recently attempted or their family members to give them information when they leave with 211 information. Also, suicide prevention lifeline numbers.
If there was anything you could specifically offer these communities in a way, that would be very, very helpful.
Yes. And, of course, by definition, if 211 goes away, it goes away for all the reservation counties in the state, because only Cass would have it left.
And I do just want to let you know, too, we've previously functioned on a $600,000 per year federal grant for suicide prevention, and that grant ends in September or October, I believe. And we have no filler for that. So this will be a major legislative issue for us as we move forward next session.
Space is always training. This is training. We have two staff who have gone to New York and completed the training, too. So we have two people.
Very good. Thank you, Arvie. Other thoughts?
Thanks.
Anybody?
How about Association of Counties? Do you guys have any thoughts? Because you touch everybody.
Yeah, I'm actually with the
cities.
Or League of Cities, I'm sorry. I thought you were counties. Same difference, though, right? You guys touch everybody?
Well, no, not
So I guess that's kind of my perspective, but, you know, a small percentage of the cities in the state are in Cass County, and so the other communities have issues as well. So it's an important service that needs to be available statewide.
Any chance you can broker with your folks to help them contribute to?
Not that I know of. I would have to check on that, but, you know.
Where it would be invaluable, of course, is once we get the bridge built and going into the next session, obviously you'd have an important story to tell. I'm wondering a little bit, it might have been one of you or maybe it was Brian, I don't remember. Somebody mentioned, I think it was you, Cindy, that mentioned, that the number is, that the 211 is advertised on the back of Powerball tickets, for example, which, you know, is understandable.
Is something about if gambling's no longer fun, dial 211, kind of that idea, so...
Oh my gosh! That's
So I don't know. You know, like that's my concern is where places that are using it, if they could all help too, and then being connected with us and making sure that we're getting the right information.
Well, and therein lies
the logistical nightmare that we're going to have if it does go away.
Well, that's for
sure.
Think about
all these groups that may not be here at the table today who are using the number.
They're using it.
Well, that's right. And the reason I thought of that is because obviously many of the entities that use it are charitable and rely on benevolence themselves. They're not in a position to fund things. They're in a position to be funded. But for those, as we've identified, and government's always sort of the easy one, I guess, but for those entities that have resources to provide the service as well as market it, this would seem like a good place for them to put some of those resources. So, and I'm not asking anybody, or trying to put anybody on the spot, but that was just one that came to mind, Tom. you would never look at me. maybe hand Tom the mic. Oh.
The Attorney General's office recognizes the value of the 211 system and is sympathetic towards this goal, and we'd like to help in whatever area that we can. It becomes, as we all realize here, associated with state government, a budgeting problem. As where you find the latitude
right.
within a line item to cough up a few dollars. I mean, you may be able to identify an account that the dollars are in,
sure.
but they're dedicated for some purpose that the purpose may not even be realized.
Mm-hmm.
In the present biennium. Still, it doesn't give you access to those dollars. Having said all that, I haven't fly-specced our budget. Nor, quite frankly, am I competent to fly-spec our budget, but have people that will do that to see if we can identify some area where we can assist in this effort. We certainly want to do that if we're able of doing that. And I don't know the all of the ins and outs and vagaries of utilization of the Emergency Commission for purposes such as this, but that's something we may want to look at, too.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. That's... kind of what I was thinking, that there might be possibility, and we all understand. That's part of our challenge. In early on, in an interim, biennium budget cycle, that becomes a challenge. Others in the room who are now, I know that we have some United Way folks, and obviously United Way of Cass Clay has been a partner with you all there. And budgeting cycles and contribution cycles and all that are. There's a bureaucracy in place to do all of that, and that becomes a bit challenging as well if we were to try and appeal to the United Way of, whether it's ours here in Bismarck, Mandan, Missouri Valley, or others. We certainly should at least put together a strategy to do that, I would think, but realizing, again, that we have a March 15th deadline that's probably not going to be met by, aggregating all the United Way chapters around the state. But I don't know, Jenna, if you had a thought or if...
Well, Nationwide, United Way has always been a big supporter of 211, and as well as locally, we've supported the Mental Health of America with their 211 program the last few years. We may have some uncommitted dollars that I could look into and possibly make a proposal to my board now that MHA is no longer running 211. We did reallocate those dollars to other local programs, but we also did increase our campaign this year. So I can look to see if we have some funds there.
Just for your information, as far as across the nation, United Ways of America and all the United Ways locally, 40% of 211 centers across the country are supported and operated by United Ways. So they're actually run by United Way in some cities, as well as the other 60% are funded, not fully funded, be very clear on that, not fully funded, but support 211. So there's a vested interest in United Ways because we're all about serving our community and reaching out to those in need, just like all of you are. And so when all of this came up, and I really need to commend First Link for coming to the table on an interim basis. They've just been shining stars in this, and I don't think the people of North Dakota really know what a critical role they played with very little notice, practically 1 or 2 days. So just really want to commend them and support the work that they've done. I have talked to our other United Ways, some of our other United Ways across the state, and I know that there would be some dollars at the table, but we could not meet that full gap of $100,000 to $200,000. So we're partners.
Appreciate that. And that's, I wasn't aware of that. That's an impressive statistic and commitment by United Way. And you're right. Thank you for reiterating that First Link really did go above and beyond, certainly their jurisdiction and their funding, but also thank you to United Way of Cass and Clay Counties for your patience in that, because obviously they're utilizing some of your investment to help the rest of the state, and we appreciate that. Others that might want to have something to say or something to offer, yeah.
A question to the folks from United Way. When we're talking about a timeline for just the mechanics of running the traps with your boards, what kind of timeline can we look at?
What specifically are you asking for? when we could have dollars at the table, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, either dollars or a sense for what commitments can be made. Do you have a sense for what the timing of the understanding March 15th is?
I think that if we knew that we had more partners at the table than just us, that many of our boards could react quickly. But we would need to know that there is a sure commitment to get First Link or the provider of your choice the support that they need to get to the next biennium, and know that there will be further funding as well. This is no doubt a critical service to the people of North Dakota.
And speaking on behalf of the Bismarck United Way, I would say that we would be able to know within the next few weeks if there was a certain dollar amount that you needed just to provide this.
Wow, okay. That's helpful. Rob, yes.
One of the things when we went through the process and the training is we tested the system. Because we were putting that much money into the system, we wanted to make sure. And so we had our staff test the system on, make sure the calls were routed to the right agency and all that. And I would say that you came across, at least through when it was in Bismarck and Fargo, that passed. Because we just asked people if they're driving back, call and say you're coming into Fargo and you're trying to look for a veterinarian for your dog and to test the system and see how effective it was. Because you have received all the spectrum of calls. And that's the concern that we have because of the value of life when it comes to suicidal ideations, calling and sexual assault response. Those are things that are very real. And that's my question is, when we go again, I mentioned we talked before, but you have a suicide hotline. So if a call comes in 211, does the system stop everything to handle that call? How does that work? Because that's what I need to relay to my folks, that this is a trusted system that is going to actually route those calls and get the help needed.
Yep, and at the moment, our priority is for the suicide line. So if a call comes in, that's why we need more staff, Rob. So that's my concern is we need to have more people there. So if we get a call on the suicide line and a call on 211, our priority right now is for the suicide line, but the reality is we could have a suicide caller on the 211 line. So we want to provide that service too, but that's where we need extra staff and extra lines, so that's our concern.
And your suicide hotline, what number is that?
That's the 800-273-TALK.
Talk, and that's nationwide?
Yep.
And that piggybacks over to other states?
It's always going to be answered, yep.
So that always is answered. Yep.
The other thing to note, though, is if we have a suicidal caller on 211, they are top priority.
Right.
So that person in that moment will continue to get the service that they, the highest service right then.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, but I'm wondering if we can talk about next steps. And
yeah, I think it is the time. Go ahead.
Well, we're together here.
And I mean, I've got a couple thoughts, but, you know, feel free to look at this or whatever. And I mean, I think we can get this fixed, right? I mean, it's established that this is really important. There are a lot of players at the table. We can get it fixed. And it's probably not going to involve having to do a bake sale out of the Capitol steps. at least I hope.
But if there is one, I'll be there.
Right. Yeah. what I would suggest is, as a first step, first link, if you can come back to us with a little bit more specificity in the next maybe 10 days or something like that, with regard to the money that you would need to bridge us through the end of the biennium so we can have the next session of the legislature look at it. In about that same time frame, I think it may make sense for us on the government side to come back, perhaps just at a work session of our own, after we've had some time to think about both what money may be available in our own budgets, but then also have our accountants and attorneys look at the mechanics of how we make that happen. At that point, we might be able to make some determinations about whether we need to go to the emergency commission, whether it can be handled through discretionary dollars. But maybe again about that 10-day time frame on the government side, and then if other folks, nonprofits, United Ways can be looking in again. You know, a similar time frame to just kind of scope it out a little bit. You know, is it too much to think that maybe by early March we could have at least some idea of the commitments that might not be available, even if the money is
not? Well, let's do this. Let's, since we are 10 days basically from March 1, let's shoot for March 1 as a time to come back with all of the information. Is that, I'm sorry, Cindy.
Okay. March 3rd. And so we're
you have a conflict until March 3rd.
Yes.
Okay.
But March 3rd? Anytime after that would be fine.
So okay, well, your role in this next steps is the sort of the budget piece, the need piece. Okay, and realizing that it may be somewhat loose, but if it's within.
So are we saying though that March 15th the service is not going to be there?
That's right.
Okay, that's a. Well, I'll jump over to Pat. Question: how much time do the people that turn the services off need? I mean, how does that work? March 14th, 211 will go, but how long does it take them to turn that off, and how quick can they turn it back on?
Yeah.
Is
because
that's one thing, because I guess I was hearing the discussion that everybody's saying, okay, we're done with the services March 15th, but I wasn't sure that's, I agree with that.
Brian, if I recall from when we first designated this, we went through talking with the phone companies, it's not that long a process now with the way switches work. I mean, it's a coding issue.
But with that, do we have to agree
to send it or not to send it?
But do we have to agree that the services are stopped March 15th? I mean,
we don't have anybody to do it. So there's really no way for us to, short of First Link willing to take a chance. There's no way for us to designate
somebody. Where we're at that point. There may be a. Legal issue, but I think it's one that we can overcome, which is that technically the one role that the PSC does specifically have in this process.
I've been thinking about this.
we're charged in the statute with designating who has the authority legally to operate those numbers. And First Link clearly is designated in Cass County for now, and will be into the foreseeable future. But we would need to redesignate First Link if they're to be the provider, and I have to say if, because of course we can't prejudge any case that may come before the commission, but and we know the world of possibilities. We would need to find a way to make that happen on our end, and I don't think that's an insurmountable hurdle. I think the phone companies understand.
But if we go back today,
smoke signals,
yeah.
But But if we go back today and somebody in this group says, you know what, I come up with $80,000 and they call them, and by March 1st we've got, so I mean, I don't know that, I agree, it's 99% chance that this is not going to be there March 15th, but I don't think we should go back with the attitude that it won't be there. By March 1st, if they've got the money, they could give something.
Oh, I'm completely confident they will have.
There just maybe notice requirements.
Right. We just need to be legal. We need to do it. And Tony's point about, you know, this not being a sole source sort of, you know, RFP situation, but the realities are that First Link, not only are they the only ones that requested 211 service, they stepped up and went above and beyond when no one else would statewide. And having said all that, after a successful fundraiser, sometimes other people find that it might be more viable than it was previously. And so we have to be sensitive to those legal issues, realizing that we really like you guys a lot. And my Tom's going, oh, my gosh, no wonder their attorneys are have so much trouble.
We're still going to be answering calls. I mean, we'll still take a call. We're not going
to. Don't the switch?
He hasn't coded the switch in.
This is Cass Colony. That's right.
In Newtown, right. It may still go through.
And we realize we get calls every once in a while from odd places. Even when we were with MHAND, every once in a while, some phone company's routing system would be goofy, and we'd get a strange one from somewhere else. And of course, we're going to help. We help who we can when we can. So.
Going back to logistics, yes. When are the next meetings scheduled?
We schedule them every other week, but we can schedule one quickly if need be if we have the right notice.
Okay. You mean commission meetings? Or
exactly,
the
Oh, yes, for the designation piece? Right. Oh, sure, yeah.
We can schedule them as needed.
Okay, yeah. So what you're saying is we need to reapply and do the affidavit and do all that piece again.
Because you were the only ones that applied before, so it was...
You'd have to put it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, the only question that I would have, and I don't have, maybe Pat knows off the top of his head, is if this is one of those types of proceedings that we're required in statute to have, certain, you know, we have to publish in
even a hearing
record
or opportunity for hearing.
Well, opportunities for hearing, and if so, is it one of those areas of the law where we have wiggle room where you can do an emergency thing? And I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know, but I'm prepared to ask for forgiveness if necessary. So, does everybody have a clear? They have clear. Okay.
I'll go back to our board, and I'll get an estimate for you.
That'd be great.
Scott and Daryl, we've got contact numbers for everybody, so when we'll pull together that meeting on the government side.
Oh, before everybody leaves, they stop by and see me.
Good idea.
Before they leave, stop and see Scott Sheldon. Make sure we have the contact information.
You stay right there.
And and print up some pledge cards.
And schedule the bake sale.
Yes. I think the bake sale is a good supplement, regardless of what
else. Jenna had us cutting ties up here.
You'll notice I didn't wear mine today because I worried about
honor of you.
When she gets in this room.
Yeah. If there is nothing else to come before us, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you all for being here.
I should turn this off, I suppose, huh?
Yeah.